standing one day, looking out on life's sea, and I saw in the distance she was coming for me. I heard laughter and singing the closer she came. 'Twas the old ship of Zion my soul to claim. Then the captain, he met me with arms open wide, and he ever so gently took me inside. He said, "Son, I've been waiting just to take you on board. Now I'm anxious to show you your eternal reward. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so glad I made it through. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know what I'd do. It's been worth all the sorrow that I've suffered down here just to see all the beauties He's prepared for us there. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so glad I made it through. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know what I'd do. It's been worth all the sorrows that I suffered down here just to see all the beauties He's prepared for us
there. As the great potter takes a piece of clay, molds it in his hand, a vessel of honor he's trying to make, one that will understand. He's not here for his own purpose, but the Father's plan. How I long to be that vessel that's yielded in his hand.
Be that vessel. Oh, I long to be that vessel. I long to be that vessel. How about you? Are you longing for the day when you shall see him face to face and all the beauty of his kingdom is yours? I'm telling you, friend, that's going to be a wonderful day. I wouldn't miss it for the world. And that's exactly what it cost. It costs giving up the world, and then you can have everything that God represents and that God is. What a program we've got today. The Heavenly Father defends the city of Jerusalem and Israel. The Heavenly Father defends the city of Jerusalem and Israel. Did you know our president will be there this weekend? And I am believing, I'm asking that the Lord will speak to him, and that while he's there, he'll make a declaration of moving the embassy for the United States from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Wouldn't that be a marvelous strike for this weekend? It really would. And I have some feeling he may just be planning that. He's going to the Welling Wall to pray. There's a big hoopla about him not believing the Welling Wall was part of Israel. That was just fake news, friend. That was all fake news. I'm telling you, he's going there on this trip to pray. I heard Tillerson say that with his own lips. And I also saw it written this morning that he was going to the Welland Wall. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you, we live in a crazy world. And all the stuff in Washington, don't believe nothing you hear and don't believe but half of what you see. And make sure you understand that right's still right and wrong's still wrong. And God is going to defend the right. Can you know that? You can depend upon it. You really can. You can depend upon it. Now, we're going to have a great program today. We're dealing with Israel, especially during the last half of the tribulation period. Israel and Jerusalem during the last half of the tribulation period. Now, we really will cover a little bit of all of it. But I want you really to get this part in the last half. Now, we're going to go to Daniel. Get your Bible and keep it open because we're going to Revelation 17, Revelation, I think 11, Revelation 16. We got some exciting scriptures. And I want to tell you, and you can believe this, that God himself has chosen Jerusalem. And God himself will defend Jerusalem. And I want you to understand that God himself chose Abraham. And Abraham, of course, became the nation of Israel. And God will defend Israel. You can write it in a book. You can put it on top of your, anywhere in your keeping. And you can understand that it will not fail, that God will not fail Jerusalem. Now go to Daniel. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now listen, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, that same time. And at that time, the trouble, the people, thy people shall be delivered. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the book and seal the book even to the time of the end. Even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked up. Behold, there stood other two, the one on the right side of the river and the other on the left side of the river. I'll read this a little later. Now, we have a picture here of God telling Daniel that Michael, the archangel, will stand for Israel in this time of the end, in this latter day, in this time of great trouble and great stress in Jerusalem and in Israel. And it is already, and it will get worse. But let me read to you something else I love. This is in Isaiah 62 and verse 6. Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Yet that ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. Now, I want to tell you that God has chosen angels, apparently Michael, the archangel in the midst of them. And of course, Jesus, the Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord of Sabaoth. That means the Lord of a multitude. They are all responsible for the protection and the keeping of Israel. And it is not going to fail. It is not going to fail. I'm here to tell you, you can let people talk about Israel, put down the Jews, put down everything about Jerusalem, put down everything about this great host that God has anointed and sent to defend them. Friend, we can trust God. Hallelujah. Now, we've been dealing with these wonderful subjects of Israel in Jerusalem. Remember, the first one was all about the day of Holy Ghost revival that's coming to Jerusalem. That doesn't happen to the end of all these other things in these five other programs that I'm doing. And last week was just breathtaking. Our phones rang off the hook as we looked at the things happening, the things that's going to happen, and understand we, you and I, we are living in this day. I don't think there's any doubt. If you think there's any doubt of this being the last day, you better go read the book of Revelation and read the book of Daniel, read the book of Zechariah, read the book of Matthew 24, or the book of Matthew, especially chapter 24, the book of Luke, chapter 21. We did that Wednesday night in our Bible study here at church, and it's just breathtaking. Everything the Bible says would happen is happening. And so we are sitting right on ready. We're sitting on go, go, go. We're sitting on the sounding of the trumpet and the coming of the sun. What a day that's going to be. Now, I've got a lot of things on the subject today. Let me just try to name a few of them. One, Jesus is the Lord of Sabaoth. He's the Lord of a host. He leads this multitude that defends Israel. He leads this multitude that defends Jerusalem. Number two, America will soon move our embassy to Jerusalem. It's been in Tel Aviv all these years. The Congress passed some years ago, giving the president the right to move it when such president as would choose to do it. And there's been three or four of them that have not chose to do it. But we have one now that I believe will choose, and I pray he does it today or tomorrow while he's in Jerusalem. Go into the Wailing Walls. Remember, said he's going to pray there. Be praying for him that it will be a blessed event. Now, remember, Isaiah 62:6, I have set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. You know, the walls of Jerusalem are spectacular. That's one of the great beauties of Jerusalem, is those beautiful rock walls that tower into the sky and circle the whole city. I mean, everybody who goes just loves those beautiful rock walls. Well, there's more there than walls. There's something that you don't see, and that's angels. Angels sitting on the wall. Now, the Antichrist is going to be in control, of course, of his capital at Babylon. Now, as the Antichrist sets his sight on killing all the Jews and murdering every Jew on the face of the earth, trouble at home will help turn his tide and turn his eyes and slow his pace. And so Babylon is going to be destroyed. Now, I want to read that. I think that's good for us. You must see the fullness of Revelation, because it really is a book of great beauty and great majesty. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1, I have to hold it up to me anymore. I guess you understand that. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, that's one of the things happening during this period, is that capital of the Antichrist. It is called Babylon. I believe it's literal Babylon rebuilt. And it's his capital, and it's going to be destroyed. God is going to bring judgment on it. God is going to bring judgment on it. Oh, the devil, he's going to be a vicious character during those 7 years, but he's not going to get a free ride. I'm telling you, he's not going to get a free ride. God is going to be on the scene, and judgment will be evident in every direction you look. So Babylon is going to be destroyed. Now, once Babylon is destroyed, the Antichrist seems to become so ferocious I mean, he gets angry. He gets mean. He gets madder than he's been. And that's bad, I'm telling you. Well, he becomes angry with his one world church. You see, the one world church is developing right now. The Romans and the Protestants and the Hindus and the Muslims, they're all joining together in a one world church. And they're going to be the servants of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. But the Antichrist, as he comes under such judgment, and as the fire of God is falling and people are rebelling and nations are fighting, and all kinds of things are happening, he gets so angry, he goes and burns Rome. The Antichrist is going to burn the city of Rome. Now, I should read that to you because I need to make sure you don't forget that, okay? That's 17 and 14. That's Revelation 17 and 14. And I read it to you. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. Among the 10 toes which thou sowest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They're going to hate this religious woman. They're going to hate this prostitute woman, this Jezebel woman representing the whole new world, one world religion. The Antichrist is going to hate them after he uses them. He's going to hate them. That's the Antichrist. He always uses religion and then he turns on it. He always uses a church and then he turns on it. He uses a preacher, then he turns on him. He uses a group of people and then he turns on them. That's the devil's history. He's done that forever. So the devil is angry now, and he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give his kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, you can see the development. You see that God defends Israel and promises Daniel he will defend Israel. You see in Isaiah that God sets angels over the walls of Jerusalem. Then you see the Antichrist, and he's got his city called Babylon, and God judges it. Then he turns on Rome, and he burns Rome with fire. Now, the next thing the Antichrist has to do is go to Megiddo and try to gather this entire world army. I mean, entire world army. Millions. Millions with equipment beyond description, with ability to take down any city and destroy any great spans of people and land, except where God fights for them. Except where God fights for them. Have you got it? When God fights for you, friend, you're going to win. When God fights for you, you're going to win. You're going to win. Now, a main attack that we see it on our president, Trump, is because he's pro-Israel. That's one of the main reasons for this attack. The Antichrist hates Israel with a silver passion. And so anybody that stands for Israel, like myself, man, does the devil like to fight me. I am amazed at some of the things he brings against me. I'm faithful. I'm going to stand the test. I'm going to hear him say, well done. However I go out of here, however, whatever happens, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to this blessed old book, this blessed old book. Now, there's so many things distracting the Antichrist that you got to see that. And it's really happening all in through that time and through that place. Now, friend, let me tell you, remember the president is taking his first trip abroad. And where does he go? But to Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? Now he goes to Saudi Arabia because there's a lot of money passing there. And they've been hopefully a help with getting rid of ISIS. I don't know what all they may do, but the president is doing his job and representing us and trying to create world trade that will enhance the lifestyle of Americans. And he's doing it already. It's happening big time. And you know that. You know, can't be anything but successful. I promise you that right now. Now, every event in Jerusalem, you've got to remember, affects America. Every event in Jerusalem affects America. If the Antichrist hates Jerusalem, the Antichrist has got to hate us. If the Antichrist hates Jerusalem, the Antichrist has got to hate us, and he does. There's no question. This whole war in Washington is a spiritual versus evil war. It is the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist versus the good, godly people who want the truth and want morality and want to turn America back to the greatness of our past. I'm telling you, friend, it is a war, no question. Now, one thing I want you to see, in the middle of this last period, something happens concerning Israel that really is breathtaking. You can see this in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. Let me read you just a little. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. A lamb. That's Jesus, of course. And with him 144,000 having the Father's name written in their forehead. Remember Revelation 7? When the 144,000 were converted immediately after the rapture. They've been witnessing, they've been representing the Lord all during the 7 years. And now as the 7 years comes to close to it, they are caught up to heaven. That 144,000 Jews that have been speaking and preaching, especially the Jews, and trying to get them ready for the Messiah that would appear to them at the end of the 7 years, they are now caught up to heaven. Are you hearing me? The 144,000 sealed in Revelation 7, first, about 9 or 10 verses of Revelation 7, they were sealed, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes, and they've been witnessing now. They've had the seal of God. The Antichrist has not been able to kill them. The Antichrist has probably badgered them, but he's not been able to kill them. And now they're caught up here in the latter part of the 7 years, because they're going to be guests of the bridegroom at the heavenly wedding. See, there's a wedding going on in the sky. It lasts 7 years, but the ceremony of crowning the Christ, the King of Kings, comes at the conclusion of that great 7 years. And these Jewish people that have been sealed by the seal of God in Revelation 7 are now caught up to heaven to be part of that marriage supper. I'm going to read this again. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the seal, having the Father's name written in their forehead. Having the Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, the church. And no man could sing that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the Jews from the earth. Nobody could sing their song but those Jews. Are you getting the picture? We're talking about something so spectacular as we come to the end of these 7 years. Angels protecting Israel, they're already doing it, but they will do it in a greater degree. Michael, whom the Lord said would come to Israel's defense in the end. You saw that. Then you saw without a question, the Antichrist, his capital gets burned. He's angry. He goes and burns the religious capital, Rome. And now he's getting ready to march on Israel. But God is taking care of things. And God is keeping everything in order. And God is watching over everything. Now, I got much more. But I want to stop right here and give you a chance to call. The number to call, you know that, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. The toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'd like to take some calls here before I go and show you about the two prophets out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, that prophesies over the earth. Even show you angels flying through the midst of the heavens, preaching the everlasting gospel. You see, the time of judgment is when men will learn righteousness, and a multitude will get saved out of this tribulation period. Now, while you're calling, grab your phones now, 704-391-0588. The lines are open and ready for you. There's four of them, and I want you on one of them right now, right quickly, with a question about this end time, about Israel. about Jerusalem, about the precedent, going to Israel, going to the Wailing Wall, maybe, hopefully, announcing that the embassy, will be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I hope he'll do that. I think he's speaking at some special event. I don't have it all written in my head. So much to learn and study. But I think he's speaking at a special event. And I'm praying at that event, he will say, I've signed an executive order before I left Washington. I signed it with my key administration. And I have not read it yet. It's not public yet. But I want to read it first time here in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. I hope he does that. You know, I'm anticipating because I'm 100% behind this man. I mean, he's not perfect, just like you, not perfect, but he's doing a lot of good things, and I'm excited. So grab your phone now. What is your question? Do you understand about the Antichrist and his hatred for Israel? You understand how much he hates Jerusalem? You understand that when they refuse to worship his image called the abomination of desolation, that was our program, you know, last week. We talked about globalism that will culminate in the abomination of desolation in the middle of the tribulation period. And somewhere between that globalism, which is already now big time, that's one of the wars we're fighting in Jerusalem, one of the wars the president's fighting, one of the wars that these liberal Democrats and liberal media and liberal Republicans are fighting for also. You know, we're talking about some dreadful things happening. And I want you on the lines because you can ask questions about things that are out there that I may not know. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't waste time, please. Please, quickly, 1-800-338-7884. I'm going to put the number up, but this time I'm not going to forget it like I did last week. My wife come in here getting on me because I forgot to take that number down. Now, grab it real quick, write it down, and call quickly, one after the other, and let's talk about Jerusalem. How many of you are praying for the peace of Jerusalem? I'd like to have two or three at least to tell me that devotedly, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm very excited about that. And every Christian, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you must learn to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, I'm watching for my calls because I want you on the lines. I want those good questions. And I want some understanding here. Please hear me when I say the war against President Trump. Oh, he's made some mistakes. I don't know what they are. I've not really seen anything I disagree with. He's very strong with his words. I agree 100% for that. That's the reason most of us like him. We're tired of politicians. They're nothing but sissies. And they don't say nothing until they put the finger in the air and feel which way the wind's blowing. And they're politicians. And that's the last thing we need another one of. We need men, women who have a backbone like a saw log. Do you understand that? And who will fight for what is right and do something about this public school situation. They are talking about a voucher for every American child that they can go to the school of their choice. Do you understand how much the government would save if they would give every child in America a voucher to pay for their schooling? And they could choose the school of their choice. Our price for school year is $4,000. The public school's price is somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000 per student. 12 to 15, maybe somebody knows the exact figure. Ours is about four. Now, can you imagine what America, what our tax dollars would save if we paid for kids to go to a good school where the education is solid, where there's no indoctrination by New Age orders and globalism and Muslim teachings and homosexuality and free sex and okay to abort and kill babies, you know. I mean, it would be wonderful. It would change America. In one generation, we would turn America back to values. We'll turn America back to decent things. If every child could go to a good value-centered school and you know, be able to do it without suffering such tax burdens. I pray we can come to that. Now, I'm waiting on you. The phones are open. I'll go right on to something good, but I want to answer your question. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to know that Jerusalem is the center of this earth. Come on now, say it with me. Jerusalem is the center of this earth. That's powerful. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're blowing my mind. I don't believe that. Well, you need to read your Bible. The city of Jerusalem is named over 800 times in your Bible, and that's the word Jerusalem. That's not count all the other names that are superlatives for Jerusalem. Oh, my friend, Jerusalem. And God is going to protect it. I look at it now and I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we all should pray, because God does what he does because his children are standing the test and doing right. Now grab your phone. I'm waiting on you, and I'm going ahead now. I want you to go with me, and let's look at Revelation 14 and 6. Go with me, Revelation 14 and 6. I want you to see something here that's beautiful. This happens during this tribulation period, during the latter part especially. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying, these angels are saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Could I say to every one of you, in advance of these angels, worship God. Serve the God of this Holy Bible. Serve the God that made everything. Serve the living God who never fails to meet the need of his faithful people. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. Now, I'm giving you today a booklet that's a very powerful booklet. And it's all about the Heavenly Father providing protection and defense for Israel and Jerusalem. You really need this booklet. You really do need it. The Heavenly Father, and I quote things that you've heard me read a little of and other things, and show you that God is going to defend Jerusalem and God is going to defend Israel. You say, oh, those Arabs are going to destroy and wipe Israel off the map. They haven't got a Chinaman's chance, as the old saying is. They cannot. And they will not. And they will be defeated. I'm telling you, Iran is going to be so defeated until they will be no more. No more. Mecca will be gone, friend. Mecca will be gone. That heart of the Islam religion. And God's going to judge nations all over that Middle East that stand against Israel, that fight against Jerusalem, that fight against these people who are the chosen of the Lord. Now, I pray that you will understand this, and that you will become a friend to Israel, a friend to Jerusalem. I wish I could get everybody out there to take a trip with me to Jerusalem and just see the sights and study at night in the hotels about this great, great thing that we're part of, and learn all the beauty of what this Bible teaches us, and get the book of Revelation in your heart. Get it in your mind, in your thoughts. Get your preacher to start preaching. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of our preachers and get them really learning and studying about Jerusalem and about the book of Revelation and about Israel. I mean, if you don't preachers, about what God's doing with the Jews and with Jerusalem, you're failing a wonderful part of your scripture. And if I understand the Bible right, the Bible says preach the word in season, out of season, the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. Very important. So angels flying in the midst of heaven, preaching, declaring the everlasting gospel. Now, one of the things that I really think is so beautiful, and that's those two prophets out of Israel. Those two prophets out of Israel. Let me read that to you. Revelation 11. Revelation 11:1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple. This is the temple in Jerusalem. Measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the courts which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. From the time of the abomination of desolation, the Gentiles and the Antichrist crowd and the one world church and all that represent the devil and his crowd will possess Jerusalem and will trample it underfoot for 42 months. Now, while they are trampling Jerusalem, God is not sitting up there twiddling his thumbs. Do you understand? God is not sitting up there twiddling his thumbs. Something's happening. And listen to this. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in the same or like manner be killed. These have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have fulfilled their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall murder them and kill them. So they're killed. After 3.5 years of witnessing and bearing testimony, they are killed. Now, I want to tell you again, I'm here at the, in the middle of the hour, and my phone hasn't rung. I want one for you to order this booklet. If you don't understand the need to read and study, our booklets are going all over the world. Our P&As are touching people everywhere. I got a letter this week of a man telling me he went to a breakfast of men and they was passing out our booklets, our P&As. I mean, our material is just going everywhere, all over the globe. Really, truly. I can't go to a country that people don't walk up to me and say, I love your material. I've been getting this, and somebody sent me this, and I made copies of this, or somebody sent me a copy. You know, and I love it. I love it. And there are you listening to me on radio, on internet, on Facebook, and you can have this material. I will send you free things all the time. So all you got to do is grab your phone and call 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number is 704-391-0588. That's our local number, 7 days a week, 704-391-0588. 88. I'm going to put the number up one more time for just a little short time here so that you can see it. I want you to call. I want to spend these last 25 minutes talking to you. I want to hear your questions. I want to hear the things that you are hearing that you've never heard before. How many of you will call me and tell me something I've said and you've never heard it at your church? You've never heard your preacher preach about it. You didn't know it was in the Bible. How many people don't? How about those two prophets preaching? Oh, and you know, see, they're killed. They're left laying on the street. Notice where they are left laying. Now, this is always amazement to me. Got to find that. They are left laying. Oh, I had the wrong. Yeah, here it is. I had the wrong place there. When they shall, and their dead bodies shall lay in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Notice how the Holy Ghost is so careful. He gave Jerusalem a name that fits them spiritually, but then he told Egypt and Sodom, but then he told us that this is where the Lord was crucified. And you on the air, may I help you please?
I'm grateful I was when you gave the word about how our election was going to turn out when the Lord has shown you that Hillary Clinton would never get the presidency.
He showed me that about 12 years ago, and I stood on it. I never wavered. The day of election, I was on my face praying, and the Lord said, be at peace. It's going to be okay. It was looking bad, but God turned it around about 9 o'clock on election night.
Oh, I was praying with you, brother. Believe me.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's wonderful.
That isn't it beautiful that God still has some people that talk to him and that listen to him. So many people don't listen to God anymore, and I'm nothing. I'm about the least of the least. But I can tell you one thing. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to listen to him.
Well, what I really wanted to ask you about, and it's somewhat off topic, but I'd like for you to talk a little bit about what you think about the efforts that are being made to try to impeach President Trump. And
the extra product that's been made from what?
For impeachment of...
Oh, that is insane, brother. They have nothing. A man's got to break some laws. He's broke no laws. They haven't produced one thing that suggests he's broken a law. The whole thing is a Democrat media-driven effort to tear down the president.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
They don't have anything to impeach him for. I mean, you've got to do something serious to get impeached as a president. We ought to have impeached Obama a dozen times.
Well, that's true, and I agree with you on that.
The media gave him a pass, but the hate Bush, I mean, I didn't mean Bush, the hate Trump, because the things he's doing is total. He is literally reversing every horrible thing that Obama did.
Exactly, and the devil don't like it. It's a spiritual warfare.
And he's got plenty of people in that Congress, Senate, and House side. He's got people that are so blind to where we are living in the history of time, the history of prophecy. They know nothing about the Bible. They're living by the stuff they've learned in some university with some atheist professor. You know, those professors in our universities are mostly atheists. They don't really have good sense.
I agree.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
You are a real friend, and I'm glad you called and keep calling. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Enjoy your program as usual. I was thinking about how everybody in the churches are asleep. What you're talking about is more important than what was covered on NBC, CBS, and ABC last night, but just like Wiseman showed up King Herod's court wanting to know about Jesus who had been born just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, the religious leaders, the scribes, people that should have been aware of all the records about the Messiah, didn't know anything about it. Everybody was asleep. You were all looking in the wrong direction. I'm just astonished at the things that are going on right now.
What the people, if you don't know the Bible, if you don't know the book of Revelation, all you can do is look at our world and get scared. If you are living by what the world is telling you and what professors are telling you and what the liberal media is telling you, you've got reasons to be scared.
Yeah.
But if you know what the Bible says, man, I'm fixing to leave here. I said Wednesday night, I'm going to leave in a hurry. Now, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to scary out of here. I said to one person, the trumpet's going to toot, and I'm going to scoot.
Yeah. You know, there's so much information. I became aware just only a few weeks ago of a gentleman who is a retired Marine Corps pilot. And his sister is probably as connected to Hillary Clinton as anybody. He is openly gives her name, her rank, everything. And the news media is running in the opposite direction. He's talking about how wicked everything is, and he says, "I am a Christian." He's just like those two men whose bodies in the streets of Jerusalem. He said, "God has shown me that He's going to protect me until my time is done, and I'm going to claim everything about my sister and Hillary Clinton, what really is going on, until God allows me to get me." And I'll privately contact you and give you his man's name. And I thought, this is...
Please do that. Now, I want to tell you something. God put Trump in that White House. And those Democrats can't take him out. The only way that he could be taken out is if he got scared of what he's facing and bowed out himself. But he's not going to be taken out. God's going to help us defend him. And everybody that knows anything about prayer ought to get on your face every time the battle starts raging and pray with all your heart and defend him. I said on Facebook yesterday that every good Democrat in America ought to go to the Register of Deeds office and change their registration, because they in a nest of snakes. I mean, demon snakes. And any Democrat that stays in that party is really, really being a very unwise person.
And the Democratic Convention here in Charlotte back in 2012, they absolutely wanted to take the name of God out of the platform. And there were enough decent people in that crowd.
And that was just a little over 4 years ago.
Yes, and there were a few decent people in there who opposed it, and out of respect and deference to them, they did not pass it. They came very, very close to removing the name of God from the Democratic Party platform.
And everybody out there needs to hear this. This was 4 or 5 years ago, actually, the Democrat Party meeting nationally here in Charlotte. The whole national party, American party, met in Charlotte, and they fought over the name of God, and the whole Democrat hierarchy wanted that name eliminated completely from their platform, and just because of the war it was and the negative effect was going to come out of it, they finally bowed and left the name in there.
But they didn't want to. They just had to.
Not yeah, that we know. Now, anybody ought to know that and know that. Now, the Republicans aren't perfect. There are so many needs in the Republican Party, and maybe you don't want to be a Republican, an independent. The good thing about being a Republican, you get to vote in the primary. And think now, 4 years from now, when President Bush runs again, there's going to be a primary, and you're going to need to be able to vote to keep some rhino Republican from moving him out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I love you. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please? Sorry about that. Call back. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want you on. We are on a powerful subject. We are on a great subject. Right now, here in America, we must understand that we don't just have our own political situation. We don't just have a president under siege by liberals and God haters. We don't just have a president that the media, the evil media, wants to destroy. We've got Jerusalem in focus. We got the Jewish people who are our responsibility. If America has a secondary responsibility beside America and all of the things relating to our nation, that secondary responsibility is Israel and Jerusalem. And we must be fighting for it with all of our heart. And to know the president will be there probably before the sun sets or tomorrow. And that he may just, I hope somebody sends him a message that there's a preacher in Charlotte begging him to make that decision if he hasn't made it. But I kind of think he has. And I kind of think we're going to hear it. Now, wouldn't that be something? That would be something. That would be something. Now, I want to hear from you. You're important. You know the numbers. They've been up long enough. If you haven't written them down, it's your fault, okay? God bless you. You can get now a free copy of this book, all about Jerusalem and the angels fighting for Jews, fighting for Israel, fighting for Jerusalem. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey.
100% God put Donald Trump in the White House.
No question about it.
Hillary Clinton already had certain measures and had a coordinated decision. God intervened.
We did. And we've had a miracle. And we ought to be thanking God for giving us this man. And we shouldn't let nobody tell us things that destroy our faith. If you see he's made a mistake, pray for him. Ask God to teach him. He's not perfect. I mean, how could you be a businessman all these years and suddenly you're in politics and you don't know how to handle this bunch of rhinos and liberals and backstabbers? And, you know, it's impossible. What he did in firing the FBI director was absolutely right. Everybody wanted him to. But then they saw it as a vulnerable place to go after him. And now they're using it to fight a battle that was part of their own doing. And it's sick. It really is sick.
Yep. God is hey, he's still on the phone. The question I want to ask is this possible now, would that be Elijah and Enoch?
I'm trying to hear you, and I'm having trouble. Say that again, please.
I said the two prophets that you were speaking about earlier, would that be Elijah and Enoch?
No, the Bible doesn't say who those two prophets are. They may be Elijah and Enoch, but that's been the opinion of some. But I think they'll just be two great men that God raises up at that time.
Absolutely. Well, brother, you're wonderful. I'm a farmer in Tucson, and I listen to you every Saturday, and you are a blessing.
Well, you are a blessing to be a to bless me, okay? And God bless your heart. We love you. We love you much. Bye-bye now. You on the air. May I help you, please.
Yes, Pastor. I just want to let you know that yesterday the Lord spoke to me so strongly out of nowhere and told me that he has given America, President Trump, as a Nehemiah this time in history. And what happened was my wife was asleep at the time, and I was going to write her a little note, and I didn't know how to spell Nehemiah. I've got an old book that's Bible.
Hey, can you speak a little slower and back off from your phone just a little bit, because it's muffling to me, and I'm sorry, but sometimes that happens when I get a lot of calls. But go ahead now.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Maybe a little bit. I'm not sure. Go ahead, and I'll try.
Okay, I'll speak a little slower. But we were supposed to be yesterday. You said the Lord is in America. Nehemiah, President Trump at this time in history, and I was going to write a little note to my wife. She was sleeping at the time, so I didn't know how to spell Nehemiah. So I opened my Bible, which is real thick, thin pages, very very thin. I opened the Bible when it opened up to chapter 1, and the beginning of it, it has Book of Nehemiah in big letters, you know, stating it's the, you know, chapter of Nehemiah. And I just wanted you to know that.
And you're talking about Nehemiah. And what chapter did you read?
Well, no, I opened the Bible to spell the word.
Okay, and you found it right there. And so that's how you learned to spell it. Now, why did you think of Nehemiah?
I don't know.
You think maybe the president is doing a little bit of what Nehemiah did?
If you look at Nehemiah, and you can look at what Tobias and all what they did to him.
Yes.
That is the same thing. He's going against the grain, against history, against people.
Okay, you're saying that what Trump is suffering is very similar to what Nehemiah suffered.
Right.
Okay. That's very good, sir. Thank you for calling us. I appreciate it very much. Grab your phone now. We've got time for another call or two. You know, we are dealing with an incredible subject. We're talking about Jerusalem in the time of the end. And these are the last, especially the last 3.5 years after the tribulation period begins. 7 years, tribulation period, 7 years long. The rapture occurs before the 7 years begin. Any moment now, we can be out of here. I want to tell you something. If ever I have expected the rapture to occur any moment, I am at that point in my life. Reading this Bible, studying and praying in that altar in there, staying close to God, we are near the coming of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. The majority of the people you know, your children, your family members, the people you work around, they don't care nothing about God. They don't have no time for God. I'm going to tell you, the majority of them will not get saved until during the tribulation period. They're going to get saved, if they get saved, after the rapture. After the rapture. So you better be telling them, hey, let me tell you what you better not do when that rapture takes place. I mean, you need to warn them. I think the time has come to warn everybody around us about the tribulation period and how to get saved after the tribulation period begins. Because there aren't going to be many more. There'll be some isolated revivals. I'm praying for a revival right here at Paul Creek. I believe God's going to give us one. You may want to come be a part of it. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of the sinners out there, and most of you listening to me are probably sinners, maybe most of you Christian, I don't know. But if you're not saved, you're going to miss that rapture. You better get ready to pray after that rapture takes place, because it will then be, if you get saved, it will then be that you're going to be martyred. You're going to be treated with vileness. It's going to be hell on earth, friend. It's going to be hell on earth. You on the air, may I help you, please? Yes. You on the air, may I help you, please?
Hello?
Hey, you on the air?
I don't really have a question, but something I really want to encourage the body of Christ to do, and I've read your book, Revelation, and that is to encourage people, especially the times we're in, to read the book of Revelation, say, like once every couple months. To keep
so you've already read my book?
Yeah, I read your book.
Do you recommend everybody to get it?
Oh, yes, because, like I say, we get so caught up in what blessings we want now in this earth. We got to remember, this is only temporal, and we're heading towards, very soon, towards what the book of Revelation is talking about. And
absolutely.
The body of Christ, to keep reading it and keep looking towards what's coming, not so much what you want for today. Or
how much money you're going to make, how big a house you're going to build. Get ready for that rapture.
Exactly. And if you keep reading the book, say every couple months or so, and keep it on your mind, it'll help you. Straight.
You know, that's a good idea. If everybody out there would read the book of Revelation every month for the rest of this year, by the end of this year, you'll be on fire for the Lord. I guarantee you, because it'll wake you up.
And there's like your book, some other books I've read during Revelation. If you feel like you don't understand it, there are good books like your own that are out there that will help you understand it.
Well, I really believe my book is one of the best, and I recommend everybody out there to get it. Thank you, sir. And God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, preacher.
Hey.
Netanyahu says Donald Trump is God's gift to America.
Has what now?
Netanyahu. What is his name in Israel?
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Netanyahu.
He's God's given Donald Trump to us, you know, to straighten things out.
Well, I am grateful for him. He's a very good man, and I hope him and the president, they've already struck it off good, and I hope they have a great meeting, and I pray they'll go to that welding wall together and pray, and then that the president will announce the embassy being moved to Jerusalem.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yeah. How are you, Pastor?
I'm fine, sir. Man, I'm having the calls, and I love it.
Okay, great. The question I have, from a new Christian, the part of the Bible says...
Back off from your phone a little bit. I'm getting good calls I can understand, and I'm getting some I can't. So back off and speak real clearly, okay?
Okay, I'll try. Yeah, coming like it at work in a garage. The Bible says, all of Israel shall be saved. How does that come about?
What about, shall be saved. When Jesus has fought the battle of Armageddon, comes down out of heaven, fights the battle of Armageddon in Megiddo, he goes to Jerusalem, and when the Jews see him, God has gripped their heart, God has convicted them, God has put them through the fire, and all of a sudden, the whole of Israel shall receive the Messiah as their Lord and Savior. And that will happen at the end of the 7 years, just before Jesus establishes a 1,000-year one-world order.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
They'll look on him, the Bible says, and they will ask him, where did you get those wounds? They're going to see the nail prints in his hands. They're going to see the print in his side. They're going to see the place around his brow where the crown of thorns was injected. And they're going to say, where did you get those wounds? And he's going to say to them, I got them in the house of my friends. And somehow Israel is going to know he's talking to them.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, I always used to wonder about that.
That's a good question. Oh, I love it. They're going to all be every living. But see, two-thirds of them are going to die at the hand of that Antichrist during the 7 years. He's going to hate them with a passion. If you think people are anti-Israel now, you wait till that rapture takes place. And the Antichrist will be the Jew hater of all. Thank you, man.
Okay, thank you.
Been a joy to talk to you. Wow, what a... Every call has been so good. Now, listen. Listen, you've got to have this booklet. This booklet about God protecting Israel during the tribulation period. You've got to have this booklet. So please call and let our ladies send it to you, will you? If you've never listened to this program before, you need to become one of my partners. You need to become a friend. We are making more impact than we ever have worldwide. This Facebook is all over the world. The internet's all over the world. The radio program is many quarters. It's all archived. The people can get it next week, next month, next year. You know, after the rapture, people can go on my website. If the Antichrist don't, you know, I guess they might try to get it off. But they can get information. And I'm really going to be doing some things about how to help people know what to do if they miss the rapture. I'm fixing to give probably 6 whole programs to just talking to people about missing the rapture. It's become that dangerous and that near at hand. If you're out there and you're not saved, go to somewhere to church tomorrow where you can get on your knees in an altar and you can shed the tears of your repentance and you can get truly right with God. There's a multitude out there who are just religious. All they got is religion. You need to know you're right with God, my friend. You need to know you're saved. Now, we got time for maybe one more call. Delighted if I can take your call. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. It's my joy. I'm here to tell you now, our school is one of the best. If you don't know anything about a Christian school, you ought to call here Monday and get our secretary to send you a packet about our school. Your children need to be in Christian school. Children in a public school today are being prepared for the Antichrist. Children in public school today are being prepared for the Antichrist. Do you hear me? They're being prepared for the Antichrist. You need to get your children ready to meet Jesus Christ and to know the Savior. We're just that close to the end. We really are. Now, call, please. Tell the ladies you want to get this free booklet today about the Heavenly Father protecting Jerusalem and the Jews. And keep praying now. Between now and when the president will finish his visit in Jerusalem, Israel, that he indeed will pray devotedly at that well and wall. I pray the tears will stream down his cheeks as he prays there. And then, of course, I hope he'll make an announcement. I am moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Hey, friend, Jesus is coming. God's going to protect Israel. Next week, we're going to talk about the King of Kings coming to Jerusalem and setting up the millennial kingdom of 1,000 years. Of course, at that point will be the revival when all the Jews get saved. All the Jews get saved. Now, the number to call, I'm going to put it up there and leave it because I want you to somehow get this number, okay? Oh, man, how did I do that? I didn't mean to do that. That was a mistake. Oh, I don't know how I did that, but I got it back. I'm a miracle. I got it back. I wasn't sure I would. God bless you, friend. You're wonderful. I love you. It's my joy to be part of everybody that's part of this program. I want you to know that. It's my joy. You're important to me. You're very important to me. And I want to be a blessing to you. I want to get you ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, there's the numbers, okay? There's the numbers. Very important that you have these numbers, okay? That you have these numbers. And I will leave them up until maybe 5 minutes after the program. So you can call the ladies and get a copy of this booklet about God, the Heavenly Father, protecting Jerusalem and the Jews. It's going to be hell on earth. They're going to die by like flies, really, by the multitude. But God is going to keep his hand over it. And as many as will can come to faith, can trust in God, can know the beauty of his graces and his mercies. Oh, friend, we've got so many good things to live for. Do you realize that? We've got so many good things to live for. Now, I know I got to go. The number to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. I'm preaching tomorrow on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. What it means to be filled with the Spirit. What it will do for you if you're full of the Spirit. How the Lord will teach you and direct you and guide you and be there to watch over you. My friend, I'm telling you, there's nothing more wonderful than to live a life full of the Spirit of God. Full of His Holy Ghost. Now, I love you. I'll keep the number up. You're special to me. You're special to me. I want you to know that. You're special to me. I said, you're special to me. God bless you there. Give a call. We're here to be a blessing.
Hungry eyes and empty hands keep reaching out to me. I hear their cries for help down in my soul. The burden is so heavy, but I must keep pressing on till I see the lost sheep safe within the fold. Oh, harvest field, oh, harvest field, you'll take me to my grave. For every time I see you, I see souls unsaved. And when I look into your eyes, it fills my heart with fear. For in my heart I realize you're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I'm here.